Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Friday, October 30th, which in weekday time means today's Halloween. Happy Halloween. Happy to be with you. Thank you for joining us. I guess we dressed up today, so you should tune in to see the Facebook Live, the Annie Fry Show Facebook Live, and the Annie Fry YouTube Live. You can go to either one of those, and you can see how we dressed up and the effort that we put into this. And I will also tell you, now is a great time to make sure that you have liked the Facebook page and subscribed to the Annie Fry page on YouTube, the Annie Fry YouTube channel, because next week I am going to be doing a lot of extra coverage on social media as the election hits. So welcome into the show. Glad you chose to spend some time with us today. Lots to discuss as we are, you know, watching. I don't know if this is the most important story, but this is kind of a little bit indicative of the times we're living in. Brett Favre came out and endorsed Donald Trump on Twitter. Does that surprise anybody?
And Jay Cutler, too.
Jay Cutler as well. Brett Favre tweeted, "My vote is for what makes this country great, freedom of speech and religion, Second Amendment, hardworking, tax-paying citizens, police, and military. In this election, we have freedom of choice, which all should respect. For me, in these principles, my vote is for real Donald Trump, hashtag vote." So Brett Favre has the gall to come out and support one of these presidential candidates. Can you believe that he decided that this is what? So I'm scrolling through social media, and I don't know how this happened, but there was a Sports Illustrated post in my feed because I felt like I had sufficiently unsubscribed from everything sports publication, because I can't handle the virtue signaling and the constant hot political takes that are coming out of the sports world. I don't want it. It's not why I watch sports, and it sure as heck is not why I'm subscribed to ESPN.com on Facebook. It's just not for me. I know that it's there. I know that it's a part of the sports culture these days, that the idea that there's going to be, you know, political statements or cultural statements that are going to be injected into the professional sports industry. But I don't really personally care to take it in. It's actually been pretty resoundingly why I've pushed off a lot of watching pro sports in the last couple years. So Brett Favre, as I said, going back to Brett Favre, he's just a rebel. He goes out and he says that he's going to support Trump. I remind you, he did this on his Twitter profile. So I'm reading this. I'm scrolling through Facebook, and here comes an article from Sports Illustrated. And it says, "Brett Favre says fans don't want politics mixed with sports. endorses presidential candidate. Dun, dun, dun. How dare he? This is from Jimmy Traina. Maybe you follow him. Maybe you don't. He has an article that he posts called Traina Thoughts. And he gives 2 points on this issue. And the first one is, it says, number one, hypocrisy. The practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. Pretense. And then he says, hello, Brett Favre. The Hall of Fame quarterback said this to Donald Trump 8 days ago. The NBA and the NFL are struggling with lower ratings, and fans clearly do not want political messaging mixed with their sports. And then he follows up, clearly the irony of an athlete saying politics and sports shouldn't mix while said athlete is publicly speaking to the president of the United States was lost on Favre. And now, 8 days after Favre declared fans don't want sports and politics to mix, he tweeted this. And then he embeds the tweet there. He said, first thing, he goes, if you don't read Traina Thoughts regularly, you know almost every sport is struggling with lower ratings. So he's highlighting this comment that Brett Favre made, and he's poo-pooing the idea that sports ratings are down because people don't want to hear politics. And Carl, if you could check on the live stream, our sound is not functioning.
Yeah, it just came back, but I don't know what's going on.
It's
weird.
It's all right. We'll work on it at the break. But anyway, the suggestion exists that sports viewing ratings are down, and while they're down, it's because there's too much politics involved in it. And he's saying, no, everything is down. Everything is down right now. The MLB and NHL are coming off the lowest rated World Series and Stanley Cup ever. This is what he writes. And then he says, and while NFL ratings are down slightly, the league's viewership is still rock solid and draws better numbers than anything else on television, as if that's a benchmark to determine whether or not people are watching or are not watching sports because of the political injection into it. He said, so the premise of Favre's question was ridiculous. Okay, Mr. Traina. And then he says, two, always remember, whenever someone says fans don't want to hear political messages or stick to sports, they really mean I only want to hear someone's political beliefs if they are the same as mine. This is where I got a little peeved, because there's no way in heck that if that message would have been just at the end, that's why I support Joe Biden, there would be no article about this. This wouldn't have been posted. It's absolutely mind-boggling to me the amount of just like they can't see it in front of their face. They're so blind to what they are telling us, and they are so frustrated with the idea that there are people out there who will like knowingly and openly support Donald Trump. Like, have you no soul? Have you no understanding of what you're saying to the public when you come out on Twitter and you say you're going to support Donald Trump? My heavens. It's ridiculous when you listen to the idea that there is a hypocrisy. This is the biggest part. This is the biggest point, folks. A hypocrisy in the idea that Brett Favre says... He said this to Donald Trump 8 days ago, according to this article. The NBA and the NFL are struggling with lower ratings, and fans clearly do not want political messaging mixed with their sports. Is there a difference between Brett Favre on his own Twitter profile tweeting something about some political sponsorship or some political endorsement he has, and the idea that you are going to, during the national anthem, make a political statement, whether you like the political statement or not? Or you're going to do something right before you enter the batter's box. Or God forbid you score a touchdown and you go down to your knee and you pray about it for a second. People hated that too. The only reason why this guy is twisted in pretzel knots is because Donald Trump's name was at the end of "This is who I'm voting for." And you know it and I know it. It's mind-boggling to me that they cannot see the difference between using your own platform, which I can choose to follow Brett Favre on Twitter and see this. I can choose to not follow Brett Favre on Twitter. If he were still the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, I could see him in every down he took as the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers and not know a single thing he tweets. I can separate those in my life. That's an easy situation for me to make that decision for myself. But when I want to watch football and you're paying, you know, God knows how much an NFL ticket is these days, and you're investing in going to watch a football game, having in politics be injected into it is not something that people want to see. And there's nothing wrong with that. They then get to choose whether they're going to invest in the football game or they're going to invest in something else to do on a Sunday afternoon. It's really that simple. I remember here in St. Louis, as we were going through the beginning of this baseball season, that we were seeing a lot of Jack Flaherty's voice. And if Jack Flaherty wants to go on his Twitter and do something and say something, that's Jack Flaherty making a statement, making a point. That's Jack Flaherty doing something that is himself speaking in his own entity, and it's not what he's doing when he's wearing the Cardinal uniform. I understand that he goes out and he wears the Cardinal uniform, but when he's speaking on his own, when these athletes take to their social media, you have every right to disagree with what they say, but there's a huge difference between going out and using your own platform and being interested in taking on a cause and speaking out on it. There's a big difference between doing that and then going and making sure that your voice is heard in front of a bunch of people who are paying a lot of money for a ticket, an enormous amount of money for a beer, and trying to eat a $10 hot dog because they want to watch a baseball game. I'll take it back to football. Benjamin Watson. It used to be a tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, then the New Orleans. He was with the Saints, and then he was with the Patriots, I think. He is greatly outspoken about being pro-life. He works his tail off to have that voice and that message out there, and he does it in his own platforms. It's an entirely different situation. And the only reason, like, I have never seen an article or a post of any kind come out and be like, on any of these sports platforms, and be like, can you believe that that Mark Bulger came out and endorsed Joe Biden? That didn't happen. And Mark Bulger's not playing, which is why you know that didn't happen. But I mean, like, can you not listen to how insane it would be to sign on to sportsillustrated.com, SI.com, and read a contentious article about a professional athlete who just came out and endorsed a Democrat? No, because that's what they think default is. That's what they think they're supposed to do. Brett Favre went against what people think he's supposed to do. And they have a problem with that. So they got to come out and try to make the distinction. Everything in this world right now revolves around Donald Trump. You know who really loves that? Donald Trump. You know, he's a big fan of the idea that the question that so many people ask themselves when they wake up in the morning is, what did Donald Trump do or say today? I need to know what my efforts are against today. It's absolutely so incredibly frustrating. And if Donald Trump loses, I don't know what they are going to do for the next 4 years, because they're not going to have that be their reference point. They're going to actually have to think. They're going to have to rub both of their brain cells together and figure out what extra thoughts they have in their brains. And I don't know that they're capable of doing it. My heavens. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Jay Ashcroft. He is Missouri's Secretary of State. So many of you have talked about, can you vote early? I didn't know you could vote early in Missouri. Well, we're going to ask the Secretary of State for Missouri. We're going to ask him, what can you do in Missouri? What do people need to know? How can they go vote? And we'll talk to them as soon as we get back. So Jay Ashcroft when we come back. And then Elizabeth McDonald is going to give us a business and economy update at 1240. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Take from a few weeks ago during, I think, a real or fake segment, which we will be doing later because it is Friday. And that is that, what's this movie called? Nightmare Before Christmas. Worst movie Disney's ever made.
No argument.
What do you think, Carl?
What about Good Dinosaur?
I like that movie. I wasn't mad about that.
Monsters University.
Oh my gosh, stop. No, I'm not going to ask you any more questions. This is going to make Friday really, really difficult. Did you like this movie?
Do you consider it a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
I haven't even thought. I just thought it sucked. I didn't go into that. I know there's a conversation about that, but it creeped me out. But this song is sweet.
It is.
So we're going to continue to play Halloween songs throughout the rest of the day.
And there's a St. Louis connection.
What?
Ken Page, who plays Oogie Boogie, is a staple on the Muni Theater.
Glad I know that now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Speaking of Missouri, I wonder what Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft thinks about Halloween movies. Do you have a favorite Halloween movie, Secretary? Is there one that you think we should all take time to watch right now?
You know, I don't really think I do. I have four kids from 14 years old to 5 years old, so if it's not animated, I don't know anything about it.
Have you seen Coco yet? Have you watched Coco? From Disney.
I have not seen Coco. I've heard about it. I've heard good things about it, but haven't watched it.
My highest recommendation, one of my favorite Disney movies that there are. So we've got an election day coming up. I know that Halloween is just sticking right in between with four kids and youngins that kind of crowds things for you, I'm sure. But I have a lot of people who were very surprised this week to hear that you could vote early in the state of Missouri. And we wanted to get you on here to just tell Missouri voters what they need to know about their ability to vote and what they might need to know if they're going to go vote early, what they need to bring, that the whole process. So could you just kind of lay it out for us so you can give the people the information they need so they can get to the polls?
Happy to. Not only, of course, is there in-person voting on November 3rd, but we've had people that are doing absentee ballots that they're sending back in, or absentee in-person voting. And a lot of people in the state have been taking advantage of mail-in ballots. We already have about 793,000 absentee and mail-in ballot requests, with over 90% of those have actually been cast and received by the election authority. It's not still too late to go ahead and request to vote absentee in person. If you meet one of the seven reasons allowed under law, you can find those on the Secretary of State's website. Just go to govotemissouri.com or sos.mo.gov or call 1-800-NOW-VOTE. If you have questions, most people probably now are going to be going to vote on Election Day. We ask when you do that not to wear any political apparel. We don't want you to be campaigning when you're in the polling place. We want everyone to have a quiet time when they can reflect and make whatever decision they want to when they're voting. Keep that campaigning at least 25 feet away from the polling place. And kind of a life hack that I really suggest to people is to reach out to your local election authority. Sometimes it's already on their website, and you can get a sample ballot showing everything that will be on the ballot when you go to vote. If you want, you can go ahead and circle or cross out exactly how you want to vote on Election Day. It also helps you if maybe you didn't know everything that was going to be on there, so you know what you need to study for to be an informed voter and do your part to make your voice heard.
Is there any concern, Mr. Secretary, with all of the early voting that's happened this year? Of course, it's up all over the country, but that we wouldn't know the totals on election night in Missouri?
That had been a concern, but I'm happy to say, because of the great work of the 116 election authorities across the state, I believe that we will know results at the normal time around 8 or 9 o'clock. We'll have those early voting results come in, and then we'll see the rest of the in-person voting results come in through the evening. I should mention that local election authorities may release their results as soon as their polls are closed. The Secretary of State's office, we will not release any voting data or any vote results until all polls are closed in the state. We want every voter in the state to know that even if they're still voting at, say, 7:05 or 7:30, because there was a line. Now, if you're the polls close at 7, but if you're in line at 7 o'clock, you're allowed to vote, even if there's 10,000 people ahead of you, which won't happen. We want every voter to know, even if they're still voting, that their vote counts if you did it at 6 o'clock in the morning or if you did it at 7 o'clock at night. So we won't release any results until all polls are closed.
I appreciate that very much. I have a Jim on Facebook right now. It says, can I wear a Make America Great Again hat? It doesn't say Trump on it. Can people wear that to the polls, or what's going to happen if they do?
I would request that they do not. I think the local election authority will request that they turn that inside out or stick it in their pocket. It doesn't technically say vote for President Trump, but it is his motto that he's used. It's associated with him. The law isn't crystal clear as to what's allowed or what isn't allowed, but I know the people of the state of Missouri are good people, and they're willing to go ahead and just not wear their hat like that or not wear their mask like that just to be kind and polite to the rest of the voters.
Okay, and I've got another question here, and I'm wondering, you know, what measures have been put in place, you know, asked from a statewide perspective, but, you know, with COVID being as much of a story as it has been this whole year, of course, that's going to be a story with voting as well. Socially distancing, you know, mask wearing, what do voters need to know about precautions that are being taken to make sure that it's safe to go vote?
Well, our office has distributed tens of thousands of masks to make sure that all election authorities will have masks available to wear. We've distributed over 17,000 face shields, so every election authority can have a hard plastic face shield that they can wear. We've released $4.5 million of federal funds to the 116 election authorities across the state with specific requests that they use that to prepare for COVID. We've seen a lot of people, a lot of election authorities buying these plexiglass shields like you're seeing at fast food places and restaurants and grocery stores to have a physical barrier between people. We've distributed over 1,000 gallons of hand sanitizer, tens of thousands of distancing markers to remind people to keep that separation physically between individuals, and of course, posters to remind people. We've reached out to manufacturers of voting equipment to find out how we can disinfect their equipment without hurting the equipment so it'll still work as well as it should. This will be the safest November election we've ever had in Missouri from a respiratory illness standpoint because of the great work of 116 election authorities and our thousands upon thousands of poll workers.
We're speaking with the Missouri Secretary of State, Jay Ashcroft. Had a few people message me and ask me if they have COVID or if they had, you know, if they've had COVID within the last 2 weeks, they're worried that they're not going to be able to vote because they can't yet still request an absentee ballot. What is the advice? Is there a safe way for those individuals to have their votes counted?
Yes. If you're in that condition, talk to someone just last night that got put into the hospital because of a medical condition. Call your local county clerk or your board of elections, either in the city of St. Louis or St. Louis County, be a board of your elections, your local election authority. We have election authorities across the state that are sending out bipartisan teams, even to make sure that individuals that are COVID positive can vote. And of course, if there are people that even with all the precautions that are being taken, don't want to go into the polling place, we offer curbside voting in the state of Missouri. You can drive to your polling place and then let the poll workers know that you want to vote outside. It'll take you a little bit longer because they have to have a bipartisan team bring your ballot out to you, and you can actually vote from the comfort of your car and the safety of your car also.
We're speaking with Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, and this year it seems like Missouri's not being talked about quite as much as it had been in past election cycles, probably not part of the swing state conversation as much, so maybe not as much of a microscope on Missouri this year as in the past, but is there a difference in the way that early in-person votes will be tallied or processed versus those that are coming in the mail? Is there anything to be concerned about there, Mr. Secretary?
You know, any ballot that gets sent back, be it an absentee ballot that gets mailed back or a mail-in ballot that gets mailed back or an absentee ballot that gets dropped off, if it's not a ballot that is fed through the scanner by the voter, then it will be opened by a two-person team. It's a bipartisan team, one Republican, one Democrat. They will go through those ballots, will go through the ballot envelope, to make sure that it's filled out correctly, that that individual hasn't already voted. And then once they ascertain those things, they'll then start to open those up and prepare them to actually be tabulated on election day. I want the people of the state to know that when they came in, before they were being worked on, they were kept in a secure location, and they're never touched by just one person. We always have a bipartisan team that works with them.
I have a question from Andrew on our Facebook page and says, I have a question for Secretary Ashcroft. With the number of absentee votes in Missouri this year, how do the numbers differ from previous elections? Are you seeing an influx this year considering the circumstances?
Tremendous influx. We may be at three times the number of non-election day votes as we have seen previously. We're over, well over 900,000. We're at 793,000. We may very well hit a million. In the past, we've been at our peak, we've been around 300,000. We've had a substantial increase, and the election authorities have done a great job to make it a good, easy, safe process for the voters.
How do you expect this to affect future elections? Will Missouri be, you know, working to broaden the way that people are able to vote because of this, after, you know, kind of seeing how the process goes?
You know, I think there's definitely going to be a further discussion about how we should be voting in the state of Missouri in the legislative session starting in January. I do think we need to be cautious. When we've looked at what's happened with mail-in balloting and early voting, we haven't had the problems in Missouri that we've seen in other states where 100,000 ballots here, 50,000 ballots here, where there are problems. We want to make sure that we remember what the point of an election is. The point of an election is to know what the people of the state want on a specific day, and we need to make sure that's done in a secure and healthy manner. We want it to be easy, but we also need to make sure that those votes count. And what we found historically is that for every 50 people that move from in-person voting to sending their ballot back through the mail or whatever, one of them gets disenfranchised. The post office takes too long. They didn't fill out their ballot correctly. They forgot to put their ballot back in the envelope. There are a ton of different things that can arise that mean that someone's vote doesn't count when they don't do it in person. And I really want to be a Secretary of State that's fighting to make sure that it's not only easy for people to vote, but they can know with certainty that their vote counts. It'll be part of the tabulation, and their vote will matter.
Well, we appreciate your time here today, and we're looking forward to finally having a resolution to this, what seems like decades-long election. So we will hopefully have some sort of answers next week or as soon as possible. We know that this is a big part of your job, and so we're grateful that you gave us some time today.
Thank you for having me, and the one thing we can all agree on is we want the election over with.
Yes, yeah, I think we can all agree on that, that's for sure. Thank you so much, Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft with us. We appreciate the time. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, Elizabeth McDonald is going to join us. She's host of The Evening Edit on Fox Business Network. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about this, the economy. Where is it right now? I don't know that there's anybody who doesn't know who they're going to vote for. Not to mention the fact, 80 million people have voted or something already? It's unbelievable. And, you know, the GDP numbers from yesterday, 33% growth, record-breaking numbers. COVID, the recovery for COVID. I mean, I know one thing she's super against is these shutdowns. Illinois is shutting down again in various regions. I just read an article that said that I believe Region 6 is supposed to shut down on Monday in the state of Illinois. It's ridiculous. Let's ask Elizabeth McDonald when we come back, you know, what's going to happen if Trump or Biden wins? We'll be back in just a minute.
Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Yeah, y'all know what it is. Katy Perry.
Follow Annie on Twitter, at Annie Fry Show. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
Great to have you. Thank you very much. Joe Biden is going to lock down your state, wipe out your factories, ship out your jobs, bring things to China, whatever they can, punish your family with $1 trillion. Think of this, $1 trillion times $4 trillion tax hike. We gave you the biggest tax reduction in the history of our country. That's the good news. The bad news is he wants to give you the biggest tax hike in the history of our country. He wants to eliminate private health care. We have 180 million people have private health care. They've fought for it all their lives. They have great, great health care. He wants to end it, and it's not going to happen. We're not going to let it happen. And send your state into a very deep recession. But see, I think it's worse. I think it's depression. I just hate to use the D word. Let me just tell you something. How good have I done in bringing car companies here to Michigan? You went 42 years without a car plant. You were losing all your plants. 12 years ago, I was named Man of the Year of Michigan. Can you believe it? Long before I thought about it. And I got up and I made a speech. I said, you're losing all your car business. Somebody gave me a list. You lost 32% of your car business to Mexico and other places. And now we're bringing it all back. You have many, many factories now under construction, expansions of existing. You haven't had that ever. And then Biden. And remember this. I only ran because of Biden and Obama. If they did a good job, I wouldn't have run. And I guess I wouldn't have won either, but I wouldn't have run. They did a lousy job. I watch them now. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Why the hell didn't he do it? Why didn't he do it? Sleepy Joe, and that was when he was a little bit better, a little bit more awake. He's going to do what he hasn't done in 47 years. I'm going to do it. That was so easy, that debate, because it hit me. I am going to do this. And I just kept saying, Joe, why didn't you do it? You know? And it was 3.5 years ago. It wasn't like a long time. It was 3.5 years ago. Biden has vowed to abolish the entire U.S. energy industry, right? No fracking. Guy went for 1.5 years. No fracking, no fracking, no fracking. Then he goes to Pennsylvania. Of course we're going to frack. And the press, the fake news, never asks about it. No energy. And you're going to have gas prices. This is not great for selling your beautiful cars. Gas prices of $6 and $7. Right now, it's nice to be under $2, isn't it? You never thought you'd see that.
So we're talking about gas at $6 and $7. I've never heard it suggested to be that high. It's getting worse. Must mean election day is nigh. He's in Michigan right now, Waterford Township, Michigan. I'm being, I guess, warned that Biden is going to be speaking in Iowa here shortly. And so people are hot on the trail. I just read something that said, I think it was a tweet that said that Trump himself is going to be holding 14 rallies in the last 3 days.
Three
wow,
tomorrow.
That's amazing.
He's been doing 5 a day. I mean, it's unbelievable what this guy is capable of. I wanted to go over some numbers with you. Ryan, you'll enjoy these. Dan Scavino, he is with Trump 2020. And let's see, I'm trying to see if I can get what his actual title is here, because he's Dan Scavino Jr. I'm looking at this on Facebook, but he does work with the campaign. And he's got some poll numbers up. And, you know, we talked yesterday to Mark Lauder, who is the director of communications for Trump 2020. And, you know, he was, wouldn't you say, like, excitingly confident in what they know compared to what we're hearing.
It didn't sound like campaigning. It sounded like, look, what we're looking at looks really good. Because if it was campaigning, it would have said, you know what, things are pretty narrow. We're hoping for the best. We think things look good on our side. But it just sounded like more than that.
Dan Scavino's got these poll numbers on here. I think that you can look at these numbers and you can take two things. What they do say and what they don't say. As in what they decided to put in this post and what they decided to leave out. Because there are some states that I would like to know a little bit more of. And I wonder why those numbers haven't been shared here. So if you're following along with us on the Annie Fry Facebook page or the Annie Fry YouTube page, I'm just going to put these numbers up here so that you can see them. But let's see here. I'm going to zoom in on this a little bit. So Texas, they have Trump at +4. And Ohio, they have Trump at +4. Florida, they have Trump at +2. Iowa, where Joe Biden is going right now, they have Trump at +1. Michigan, where Trump is right now, +2. Kentucky +13. I don't think anyone's worried about that. Although I would say that that bodes well for Mitch McConnell, who's trying to fend off Amy McGrath there as a Senate challenger. Arizona +4. That's pretty sizable. And then the rest of these are pretty large. So, you know, when you're looking at this is what the Trump team has, I think that's interesting. What's not listed here? Pennsylvania, Georgia. I don't see that. Wisconsin, don't see that. You know, Minnesota, the idea that the Republicans were going to try to play in Minnesota this year compared to normal. I don't see that happening right now at this point, at least not in these numbers that Dan Scavino decided to share. So I don't know. Let's you know, he's going to be going to Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota today.
Yeah,
he can't say that after all is said and done, even with him getting COVID and recovering from COVID, that he didn't do everything he could to win.
The states that aren't listed is what's interesting on there. I am surprised to see that Iowa is as close as it is and that they have Arizona up by so much. And really,
why does that surprise you?
I don't know, because Arizona is one of those states that I'm not very confident in from what I've been watching, and that for them to have themselves up by four in Arizona.
So what are you watching? Because I think that was kind of Mark Latter's point, is what's out there versus their numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm just watching everything, you know, the aggregates of polls like Real Clear Politics and Nate Silver, and I'm watching early voting returns. And so I'm just watching anything that's available, just seeing what's out there. I'm surprised that they don't have Wisconsin on that list, because it seems closer. But if they're not listing it, that means that they're not as confident in it.
Yep. So we're going to take, let's see, we're waiting on Elizabeth McDonald. She hasn't connected with us yet, so we might get to her later on in the show. Gabe Pfeiffer is going to be with us when we come back in the 1 o'clock hour, and we're going to do our traditional Friday Ask Me Anything segment. So if you would like to ask us anything, you can certainly come onto the Facebook page or the YouTube page and field your questions there, and we're going to go around the room. Carl is going to participate today. Did you come up with anything?
I do. I have.
You do?
I have things.
It's kind of fun, kind of scary when you've got some new blood in the room, because you don't know what they're going to say. And then we also have a segment coming up called Real or Fake. And we are going to make statements that we believe to be real news, and then the rest of the people in the room will decide whether or not we agree with that. Let's see here. I'm gonna punch this back up and see. Let's listen back into, as the president is speaking right now in Waterford Township, Michigan, making the case there. Probably not the last time he'll be in Michigan, but it's going to come down to the wire here, and all of these states are going to matter. And there's a few pathways for the president to win re-election, but less so for him than there is for Joe Biden. So let's listen in. Looks like they're walking some protesters.
No, it's a terrible thing. They turn the damn cameras off when they do that. You know what happened? They go, we're here live at Joe Biden. Jim, he's doing a thing. There's nobody there. I'm looking. They're showing the sea of people, 25,000 people. They're showing it's like a sea. And the other one, they're looking, and there's like nobody there. But they've gone to that rally, and Fox has gone too. I don't know what the hell happened to Fox, huh? What happened to Fox? Boy, oh boy. Well, we still have a few great ones at Fox. We still have a few great ones, but it's not like it used to be. Biden is the cat. It's one of the biggest differences between this campaign and the campaign from 4 years ago. We're doing better now than we ever did. There's more enthusiasm. The crowds are much bigger. There's more enthusiasm. But Fox is a big difference. Somewhere along the line, we lost Fox, and that's okay. That's all right, but that's a big difference. And the big techs, I'll tell you, the big techs are much worse. You know, when I heard how bad they were, and I heard you can't win without them, they're so powerful, and then we won, I said, why are they powerful? Now they've gone totally nuts, okay? Mark Morgan, one of our top people on the border, we've had a great border, and he was showing how great the wall is. You know, we're almost finished with the wall and how it's working. And he said the success, you probably heard this, he said the tremendous success that we've had, and all he's doing is, he's not talking as a politician. He's so proud of the job because people aren't getting into our country, murderers and rapists and all that. They're not coming into our country anymore. We're working very closely with Mexico. They have 27,000 troops on the border. And Mark Morgan is explaining how great this wall has been. It's going to be finished very soon.
Much sooner. Oh, they're going crazy because they never thought we'd get it built. Right? That's why they don't talk about it anymore. They don't talk about the wall. They used to talk about it. Now they don't talk about it anymore. But Mark is talking about how incredible the border security. And they took down his tweet and they wanted to close him up. All he's doing is saying, like, we're doing a good job. And he's not a politician. He's saying he's doing a good job. They took down his tweet and they got the hell knocked out of him and they put it back up, I understand. But this is really bad. And they don't do that to liberals. They don't do it to liberals. They don't ever do it. They don't touch them. It's very unfair. And a lot of things are happening. Biden is the candidate of anarchists and rioters and looters and gun grabbers, flag burners. We ought to put people in jail for a year when they burn our flag. You know, what the hell is that all about? I see them burning a flag. They ought to have you burn the American flag, you go to jail for 1 year.
President Trump in Waterford Township, Michigan, and he's talking to the people. We'll have Joe Biden speaking in Iowa soon, and we might go to that just to dip in and see what he's saying as well. Gabe Pfeiffer is going to join us here in studio. After this break, stick around. We're going to have some fun. We're welcoming the Halloween weekend in, a nice little reprieve before we get to the business of Election Day next week. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show coming your way.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.